Yes, my friends, you've got the right radio broadcast. It is December 25th, 2011, and this year has basically come and go, or in the last few seconds in the scheme of things, of 2011, as we prepare to plunge into 2012. And so I thought that I would be here on Christmas Day with you. I appreciate the crew and all of their fine work. We have Webster Griffin Tarpley coming up here in about 15 minutes. And we have a surprise economics guest in the second hour, as well as a guest on Congressman Ron Paul. And the different ways the globalists are coming after him and hope to defeat him. But I wanted with Webster Tarpley to look at the European debt crisis and how this controlled implosion will affect our country and what happens here in the United States and how that ties in with the move to put military on the streets of the United States and allow them to even kill U.S. citizens. In fact, will you guys cue up the audio, if we can, of Jonathan Turley from C-SPAN? We played that back last Thursday, 4 or 5 days ago, but I want to play that again coming out because, you know, we've learned quite a bit about this military takeover plan, and we have the exclusive military to designate U.S. citizens as enemies during collapse. FEMA continuity of government plans prep total takeover of society, dispatching military domestically under economic collapse emergency. And that, of course, is up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. So we're going to have Webster Griffin Tarpley, hadn't been on for a few weeks with us, to look at the world economy, the whole Iran situation with the Israelis and Obama's advisors saying they may go ahead and hit Iran sooner rather than later. It is all coming up here on this special Christmas broadcast, and I just want to say that I appreciate all of our listeners more than you know. I love you. I love people that seek truth. I love people who support freedom. I love people who have courage to be laughed at by their friends and family and neighbors who are under mind control to talk about real issues. And we are brothers and sisters in eternity for truth and justice and everything that's decent. We have a special role in human society that we've not succumbed to the brainwashing and the mind control for whatever reason, the way God forged us in our mother's wombs and the experiences we've had in our life. And I really appreciate all of you, old, young, black, white, whether you're from Mexico or Russia, whether you're from China or Germany, whether you're from Israel or England. If you love liberty and you love life and you choose life, I am your brother forever. And you are my brother, you are my sister. We are soulmates in the struggle for liberty. And if I could change the direction of my life and whatever comes from the work I've done, because obviously I traveled on a very dangerous road, I'm glad I made the decisions I made. Because there's no future if we don't take risk and stand up against evil men. And everything good in our world was forged by good men and women who were willing to stand up to bullies and gangs of scum and control freak trash. We are here to do this, and it's our job. And now we enter a very dangerous phase in human societal development, the greatest danger we've ever faced. And if we make it through this hurdle, our species has got an incredible chance to go to the next level and live the things that God talks about in the Bible, about the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, the things God has in store for us. So on this special Christmas transmission, December 25th, 2011, I thank you for joining us, and I thank you for being part of our family as we battle for human liberty, as we struggle against tyranny. The spirit of 1776 versus the mindset of 1984. Stay with us.
God rest your marriage, gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. For Jesus.
Preempted this radio transmission. It's a special Christmas edition of InfoWars.
Coming at you live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
Unstoppable watts. I don't know, we're on over 100 AM and FM stations. That's a lot more than 50,000 unstoppable watts. We are here. It is Christmas Day. Our republic is in great peril, but for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. As tyranny rises, liberty rises to meet it, and we are here at a historic crossroads. It is Christmas Day, 2011. Thank you for joining us. Coming up in the next few segments, historian and economist Webster Griffin Tarpley is joining us to look at the expanding euro implosion and devaluation of their currency, how that is affecting the dollar, the larger finance capital strategy to bring in world government. Webster Tarpley coming up. And then we have a surprised economics guest. It'll be a real treat. And we'll also have an expert in here on Ron Paul in studio and how we can counter these attacks that have been bouncing off of him for the most part. But there's some bigger challenges down the road. We'll be talking to Richard Reeves in studio for just a segment or two next hour. Then we have the economics guest as a surprise joining us. So we are here with this premiere, not encore, premier transmission, Christmas Day 2011. And certainly, man, time just speeds up faster and faster. I remember sitting at my grandparents' knee or out fishing with grandpa or whatever, and he talked about how fast life speeds up. And it certainly does. It seems like just a few minutes ago that I started out almost 17 years ago on talk radio. And here we are. It seemed like just yesterday that I learned about the New World Order and a plan to set up a global banking dictatorship through Ponzi schemes and derivatives. And here we are. It's all happening. And 2011, I just got used to saying 2011 a few months ago, and I got to get used to saying 2012 coming up here in just 5-6 days from now. And you know, I know that a lot of people would never do a show on Christmas Day and or wouldn't take the time out to record a show for Christmas Day. But I know there's a lot of people out there on Christmas who are concerned about what's happening to our country. I know I certainly am, and it's going to take a lot of effort, including an extra effort, to awaken the public. The public's willing to hear the truth now because things have gotten so crazy, but they've got to learn the full truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And, you know, as for me, I want to know the real truth, no matter how horrible, so I can make preparation for it. As Patrick Henry said, I kind of butchered his full quote, but you can look it up. It's very eloquent prose. If you the give me liberty or give me death speech, the war has already begun. Why sit we here idle? Okay, before we go to Tarpley here, we broke a big news story because a Department of Defense whistleblower contacted us and said, hey, you need to go to the official Pentagon and Homeland Security websites. They've got the sections where they put out bids. And this is open source. This is not classified, though it is listed sensitive. And you're worried about FEMA camps, concentration camps? But you've got congressional hearings, Alex, where they admit they've done this, and legislation to expand it, and urban warfare drills, and all these politicians on CNN calling for army on the streets to stop crime, and the National Defense Authorization Act, where the government claims they have the right to arrest citizens and even kill citizens. In fact, you have that Jonathan Turley clip ready? Let's go ahead and play that. Well, then he sent me the link He and his wife did. Then I had him on the show. He went ahead and went public. He said, his name's Joe Joseph. These are the times to go public when you're facing this level of stuff. He's got a high-level security clearance. He didn't give us any of that information, but he just pointed out open-source stuff. And after we posted this on Infowars.com, the Department of Defense pulled it within 1 hour and put a notice up about it being, well, people shouldn't post classified material, they said. We have the notice and everything. Here it is, exclusive. Military to designate U.S. citizens as enemy during collapse, period. And then there's quotes by Obama they put out 2 weeks ago at the WhiteHouse.gov saying anybody that angers or upsets anyone is helping al-Qaeda. So now criticizing the corrupt government or Fast and Furious or Corzine, the Democratic operative, and billions missing dollars, you can be arrested and disappeared. Now, they think that this intimidation will make people shut up, and they're calling for open web censorship and talk radio. Are we men or are we mice? Don't you get it? When you bend over to the tyrants and ask them to put handcuffs on you, you don't get out of it. The only way out of this is manning up. And then within an hour of it, government censors document revealing plans to wage war on Americans. Within an hour of posting FEMA contingency, continuity of government plans, PDF, pre-bid notice, deep sixed. And they actually say the Pentagon will run the FEMA camps and the American people are designated as the enemy, period. And that the military, it's all blue-red, standard stuff like Afghanistan. They wear transponders to know the good guys from the bad guys. And the federal family is Janet Reno Napolitano has called them. They're the good guys against us, and they're going to eat out our substance. Unbelievable. And they work for the big foreign banking cartels taking over Europe and the U.S. Now, here is Mr. Turley, top constitutional scholar on C-SPAN, saying, hey, the NDAA also allows, and this is what Obama's saying, for them to kill any U.S. citizens in America, no judge, no jury. This is something Kim Jong-il or Hitler would dream of, and they don't even put that on paper. They just do it. So here it is, the Sovietization of America.
President Obama just stated that he is going to maintain a policy that he can have any American citizen killed without any charge, without any review except his own. If he's satisfied that you are a terrorist, he says that he can kill you anywhere in the world, including the United States. Two of his aides were just at a panel a couple of weeks ago, and they reaffirmed they believe that American citizens can be killed on the order of the president anywhere, including the United States. That has left civil libertarians, you know, heads exploding. The polls, we've had three polls in the last year, and they all show the same thing. The American people say that they are more afraid of the government than they are outside forces, like terrorists.
Well, there you have it. And Ron Paul gave a stump speech a couple days ago in Iowa, where he's leading the pack still, despite all the demonization and establishment hand-wringing and telling the public he can't win. The public doesn't buy the mind control anymore of these fraudsters. He pointed out that Congress and the media keeps lying and saying the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, doesn't affect citizens, when the subsections clearly say it. We played last week over and over again five different senators who co-sponsored it and wrote it. Carl Levin, Lieberman, Lindsey Graham, McCain, all saying, yes, it affects citizens. And we want citizens to be scared. And you want a lawyer? You don't get one, Lindsey Graham said. We might dig those up and play those later. I played them over and over again. I mean, you can just type in Senator Levin admits, you know, this says Obama was the one that wanted the secret arrest, you know, disappearance section. And you can pull up those videos. So this is how dumb they think we are. And so here we are. And in Illinois and in Louisiana, the state reps are calling for military on the streets to, quote, patrol things to stop crime. Because of guns on the streets, you mean the ones the ATF shipped into Mexico and into Indiana and Florida? They're destabilizing America. They've got to be dealt with. We've got to wake up. We've got a bunch of criminals in charge with armies of criminals working for them. Most people in government aren't bad, but they're naive. So have a merry, merry Christmas. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Let your heart be light.
Run.
Drummer Boy. More Christmas music. I love Christmas. You know, I wish we had the little drummer boy instead of the drums of war. Last week, of course, the Israeli newspapers and U.S. papers said that Obama has told his advisors they may have to go ahead and strike Iran. We've had the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff come out and say, oh, we can easily attack Iran. I just think they don't understand that. You've got the Iranians threatening to shut down the Strait of Hormuz. You've got the globalists wanting a political diversion. They're now claiming Iran carried out 9/11. I thought it was Iraq. Never Saudi Arabia, though. That's the gallant little ally. So we've got all of this happening. We have Europe in full economic implosion, as predicted by our economics experts we interview frequently. And you have the U.S. in actually worse financial shape once the contagion comes here. And you have the government passing the NDAA to secretly arrest citizens for any reason. We played you Jonathan Turley, constitutional law scholar and professor, saying it allows the killing of citizens and secret torture. That's all public. And they're preparing for total COG collapse. And we've got the FEMA documents I just mentioned that are up on the sites, where they say the military will run every facet of our lives. They are designated as blue force. The American people is red force, just like in Afghanistan, the enemy. So we're listed as the Taliban, basically, across the board. But the military is waking up to this. Webster, Griffin, Tarpley, economist, also doctor of history, has predicted, unfortunately, much of what we face. He's also been to, in the last 4 months or so, under the bombardment to Libya to witness al-Qaeda forces there under NATO. That's now admitted. And the mass genocide, he first reported that against black Africans. Now they're going into Syria. They're talking about war with Iran. That's where we stand. Webster, what is happening in the world, and where is it all going?
Well, here at the end of 2011, we have a general admission by people who are in or near the world, the Anglo-American financier elite, in particular, Madame Lagarde of the International Monetary Fund has now said we are in a world depression or close to a world depression. And we have the Keynesian sort of left wing of the Democratic Party economist Paul Krugman in the New York Times saying it's time to admit that we are in a depression. So congratulations to these two figures. They have understood that we're in a depression only 39 months into the depression or more. This depression really started in 2007 with the bankruptcy of Countrywide Bank, and then the bankruptcy of Northern Rock, the British bank, in the fall of the year. And then, of course, by September 2008, with all the U.S. Banks, starting with Lehman Brothers, going belly up, there was no doubt that we were in a breakdown crisis of imperialism. It's a world derivatives panic. It's a disintegration of the existing monetary financial arrangements of the world. And that then once again gets us into this three-phase dynamic that I would suggest everybody always keep prominently in their heads. The 1930s shows us the progression from a world depression and collapse of living standards and destruction of much of civilization as it had existed. You then go into a phase of authoritarianism, dictatorship, fascism. It's what's associated with Germany in 1933, Hitler, and so forth. And then from there, once any and all opposition to wars has been wiped out, you then drift towards a world war. Now, we're essentially living through this stuff telescoped so that it's hitting us.
And by the way, you wrote books on this over a decade ago. I'm not just tooting your horn, predicting it with precision, because we know these cycles. We know what this group of oligarchs, and this is literally the grandchildren of them, do when they're facing total collapse in jail. Like Corzine and others, they will launch giant wars to make everybody rally around them.
Right, and it's of course it's an entire system. So this is what we're dealing with now. That we're seeing the depression phase telescoped together with the dictatorship phase, and that is this lunatic fascist law that we've now got that Obama has the right to arrest anybody or to kill anybody. Now, these were things that Bush, in effect, already did, but now it's becoming more explicit. And the resistance, which would normally come from people around the American Civil Liberties Union and people like this, this is relatively muted, almost paralyzed, because Obama does it under left cover. Whereas if you had somebody like Bush doing it under right wing cover, then it would be easier to get people to get riled up. So, I just the question now is, what do you do about this? And I think people have got to understand, you're dealing in a kind of political warfare, and you've always got to be careful to have your own strategy and stick to that. In other words, if you simply respond to what Wall Street does to you and what Wall Street does to you through the Obama regime that they control, then you're going to be running after a million different things. In other words, you're going to be going after the Cape and not the Matador. And the Matador, of course, is Wall Street.
Now, let's be clear. People say, wait a minute, Obama's for Occupy Wall Street. That's all smoke and mirrors. And when you say Wall Street, you mean the mega six banks and brokerage firms that are actually waging war against everybody else. They are the ultimate crony capitalist insider monopoly men.
Sure. We're talking about the obvious at the somewhat lower level. We have these political operatives like Soros, who controls the left, and the Koch brothers, or Koch brothers, as they like to be called, putting on airs. They control the right wing or the reactionary camp. But then above them, there's this higher level, which is Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan Chase. We have Moynihan of Bank of America. We have Blankfein still at Goldman Sachs and so forth, the people who run Morgan Stanley and the rest of them. And other influential people, right, people sort of elder statesmen of that group, Wall Street bond lawyers and people like
that. Ruled by finance capital oligarchs.
Right. So the enemy is these bankers. And again, the question is, if this machine is coming at you, if you simply go running after everything that they do, for example, if you focus on the fact that they're oppressing people and they're harassing people at airports, then you're going to make that the issue. And unfortunately, this is not going to get to the causes. You have to understand the causes. And the causes...
You got
to
audit and nationalize the Federal Reserve, which is not federal, and take their power away from them. You got the Koch brothers, who got a warning, reportedly, from the Democratic operative, the head of MF Global, along with others. It shows at the top, it's all like a wrestling match, a big joke.
You're quite right. So the idea is you've got to do something to break the inordinate power of Wall Street finance capital and of the City of London. Now, we just had a very interesting case of this in terms of what it might be, right? We had the Occupy Wall Street, which has now pretty much come to an end. And I would say this is now a tragic catalog of lost opportunities.
Yeah, well, it was a proto-movement that they tried to hijack, and instead, when they couldn't hijack it, the Soros people, they just had the police... bash their brains.
I think it's a little bit more complex.
Stay there. We got to go to break. It's the Christmas edition premier transmission with Webster Tarpley. We have other guests coming up. Stay with us.
Joyful and triumphant, O come ye, O come. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining.
I'm Alex Jones, and this is the InfoWar. It's December 25th, 2011. We're 34 minutes into this worldwide broadcast, blasting out on the AM and FM dial, weekday shows on XM 166, 11 to 2 p.m. Central, and also number one on the internet at Infowars.com, and of course, PrisonPlanet.tv. And so much incredible information is up there on the site. Last Thursday, I interviewed one of the heroes of the Oklahoma City bombing, one of the police officers in there who witnessed the feds and... all of their involvement and how they death threatened he and his wife face to face if he didn't shut up, and actually killed some of the Oklahoma City police. Yeah, oh yeah, name names, everything. That's up at Infowars.com, that incredible report. And we break it all down. I'm in the film, one of the advisors on it. A Noble Lie, Oklahoma City, 1995. Get it on DVD at Infowars.com and get it out to all the police and military you know and federal employees. Because when you realize that criminals in the government bomb themselves, look like victims in a false flag frame-up, just like Fast and Furious shipping guns into Mexico to blame the Second Amendment's now been confirmed by CBS News, you understand a lot. And the truth will set us free. And we can bring these people to justice in the court of public opinion where everybody knows who they are and what they did. Because there's one thing that's bad enough to know the globalists carried out these events, 9/11 and Oklahoma City and Gulf of Tonkin. But it's another thing to watch them grandstand as our saviors and launch all these wars on our name that we pay for. Going back to historian, doctor of history, also economist, Webster Tarpley. So, Webster, why are the powers that be? I mean, take MF Global. Now the head of the CME, Chicago Mercantile, testified, as you know, a few weeks ago and said, no, he had the money. He took the money and put it in the British bank. And then still Corzine's gotten in no trouble. It's a new level where they take people's private accounts now. And because, you know, he's a former Goldman Sachs head, it's okay. And he was making 40-to-1 bets with people's brokerage accounts that was illegal. And it's all confirmed. And it just shows a level of insanity. Who makes a 40-to-1 bet, Webster? I mean, I think that illustrates the type of psychosis we're dealing with.
Well, 40-to-1 leverage sounds like a lot, but it's not really that much in terms of what goes on in Wall Street and the city of London. Even 10 years ago or so, long-term capital management that got a crony bailout from Greenspan back in 1998, 1999, they were, I think, well over 40. But there are two sides to this question, right? One is the specifics of what Corzine seems to have done. Notice that he did it through London. The British market is the most deregulated, the most criminal, therefore, of any place on earth. And it's very interesting. You look at AIG, right? When AIG blew up, the center of that activity was the AIG financial branch in London, which sold $3 trillion of credit default swaps, that is, of derivatives. So it was a derivatives bubble in London that brought down AIG. And similarly, you can look at some of these others, Madoff, all the swindles done by Madoff, all conduited through London. So when Cameron, the Prime Minister of Britain, and Osborne, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, stand up and say, They're separating from Europe. What they're trying to do is to preserve this Wild West of totally savage speculation that is the city of London.
Well, isn't that just globalists fighting over who gets the reins of the New World Order, whether it's going to be in Frankfurt, Germany, or city of London, London?
Well, you can say the European Union is bad, but the British are the worst, without any doubt. I mean, Scrooge, if Scrooge came back to life this Christmas, he would recognize the city of London as being what it always has been. If you look at the European Union, you have countries in there that still have some industry. The Germans have high-quality, high-tech, high-capital-added industry. The Italians have some exports. The French have some. The Spanish probably not so much. But you look at the British, what's left in Britain, there's nothing but financial services. That's it. And in particular, the thing that Cameron is trying to avoid is this tiny little Tobin tax, right? The tax on speculative turnover, the sales tax on the city of London that the people in Brussels and Frankfurt wanted to have that they'd be paying to. And
all right, well, let me navigate this. Let me ask you the question this way. We know that Merkel earlier this year, it was like 9-10 months ago, it was in February, said the banks are engaging in terrorism, the big mega banks, and we're going to stop them. Now, I know she's a globalist and, you know, into all this stuff, but that was actually true. Then we see the media blaming Germany for, quote, taking over Europe, when it is the big six mega banks that sold all this fraudulent garbage, put their people in, or taken over Greece, Portugal, Spain, all of that. So there is some internal fighting and jockeying going on, and you're right. Cameron won't give the Brits a vote on being part of Euro, but he won't give the power that the city of London has over to this. So, I mean, if you had to crystallize it, where is this struggle going?
Well, it's going into a world depression because the people in the European Union have tremendous problems, so that they're not in a position to do anything so far that would even slow the onset of the Depression. And the other problem that you have in the European Union is, as a result of these coups, right, as a result of what amount to people power coups, CIA and related activity, with the help of the credit rating agencies, Standard & Poor's, Fitch, Moody's, and so forth, we now have an agent of the Boston Federal Reserve is now the Prime Minister of Greece. That's Papademos. We have an agent of Goldman Sachs, Monti, who's the Prime Minister of Italy. And we have an agent of Goldman Sachs, Draghi, who's the head of the European Central Bank. And now we've got a veteran of Lehman Brothers, who is now in the cabinet, the new right-wing sort of quasi-fascist cabinet in Spain. And I say that because the parties involved descend from the Franco period of Spanish.
No, I understand that. I mean, there's literally no end to them. And in Europe, they're activating the military, saying they'll squeeze money out of people. Here, they're openly saying they're preparing for collapse internally. And they've got CNN saying we need troops on the streets to keep us safe from crime. I mean, Webster, it is getting Twilight Zone. Even Alex Jones, Mr. Know-it-all about this system. I can't believe how fast it's moving, Webster. I mean, how close until the depression that we've been in, as you said, for over 3 years, which they're now more and more admitting as a depression, goes into just absolute plunging?
Well, the European banking system is spending the Christmas holidays absolutely on the brink, and part of it, there's a big artificial element. In other words, we have a world depression. Fine, there's a world depression in the background, which is real, but then the way in which this depression is channeled and the forms in which it appears, this is all subject to tremendous manipulation. And for the past 2 years, the main U.S.-British strategy has been dump the depression on continental Europe, export the depression to Frankfurt and Paris and Milan, beggar my neighbor.
But it's going to blow back. It's like a teeter-tot.
Absolutely. That's another way. But they'll say, yeah, it'll blow back, but it'll blow back 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later, whatever it is. And we're dealing with a crazed ruling class. And I guess this is where your question was going also. The specifics of the breakdown that you were mentioning have something to do with the fact that the London market is the most deregulated, right? The London market is where your gas price is set. If you're paying, you know, $3.25 a gallon or $3.50 a gallon, you can thank London, because that's where that's being done, and that's what Cameron's defending. The broader picture now, let's look at the psychology of the entire Anglo-American ruling elite. Because again, globalism, I don't think, captures the fact that this is London, New York, and Washington.
Yeah, this is the old British Empire merged with the corrupt cronies here, just running absolutely wild, and then funding Al-Qaeda everywhere. That's now all over the news. Well, Al-Qaeda's actually good, they say. You know, they help us take out the evil Gaddafi and the evil Assad. And I'm like, we're going to be back with Webster Tarpley to talk about this and where it's all going. And, hey, I'm giving you the Christmas gift of truth, folks. We love you out there. Stay with us. Mary's last. Federal government's funding Al-Qaeda. The federal government is run by foreign mega banks, devaluing your dollar and militarizing. Kick down your door while you sleep.
Silent night.
That was really weird. I was doing some silly singing over Elvis, and it caused the microphone to do some squeal. I don't know if that went out over air. Whatever. I tell you, Webster Tarpley's our guest, and I shouldn't be screwing around here when we're talking about such heavy-duty issues, but you got to have some gallows humor every once in a while, you know, joking around before they hang you. Webster Tarpley, a historian and economist, we were talking about the psychosis of the ruling elite making 40-to-1 bets. with money that's not theirs, and calling it free market to get tens of trillions in public bailout money, and then leveraging that again, and then lying and trying to start giant wars and thinking NORTHCOM and a military dictatorship will save them from the American people. And the prostitute media lying for them that loses more and more credibility, and open calls to censor the alternative media. I mean, we are in crazy land now. We ain't in Kansas anymore. It is the Christmas transmission. Hour number one's got about 10 minutes left in it. Webster, finishing up, my friend. You were, who knows, I might even keep you in a little 5 minutes.
The big problem is the psychosis of the of this Anglo-American financial elite. Let me just, the two main points. One is this Maya Ghez moment, okay? And the Maya Ghez moment is getting more bitter for them. If you look at the U.S. leaving Iraq, right, after 8 years of this futile war with all those GIs killed and the trillions of dollars, this really corresponds to the fall of Saigon in April, May 1975, with the helicopters taking off from the roof of the U.S. embassy. Now we have Maliki, I believe, representing the Iranian party in Iraq, who's trying to essentially crush the Sunni party in Iraq. And it looks to me like the Sunni party, based on what we've seen in other parts of the Arab world, they may be getting their money and orders from Saudi Arabia, which means everything bad, right? Because the Saudis are this reactionary relic, this feudal, barbarous, absolute monarchy. So the U.S., the people in the State Department and the CIA this holiday season are freaking out that they've been kicked out of Iraq, and it looks like the Iranians are sort of crushing the U.S.-Saudi proxies on the scene. Now, this just
and by the way, it's in the news that admitted al-Qaeda-connected groups are at former U.S. bases launching attacks, probably the ones in Iraq, but certainly the ones in Iran.
Right, and remember, when you think al-Qaeda is the CIA Arab Legion, so don't ever get confused about that for the listeners.
And by the way, the good old boys can't laugh at that anymore, because you got London Telegraph headline, al-Qaeda flag now flies over Libya. You were there. You right. First reported on the black genocide, Webster. That's now in Newsweek.
Yeah, and Bel Hodge. Now, here's the thing. Bel Hodge, the al-Qaeda killer who had been made the military commander of Tripoli, has now been sent, I believe, to southern Turkey. He is now the commander of the so-called Free Syrian Army, which is simply the people from Chechnya, from Afghanistan, from the fighters from Libya, the fighters from Iraq, have all been recycled, at least a lot of them have, by the CIA into this South Turkish border area.
No, that's all admitted. I mean, al-Qaeda is this skeleton key that the bankers, henchmen, the CIA and others use, I mean, to take our liberties, to take over countries. I mean, it's incredible. And you tell adults this, you go, you know, Bin Laden was CIA. Here's the BBC. And they're like, shut up.
Sure.
But you're like, but our government put him in charge in Libya. Well, that's okay. I just want to give my rights up because it's fun to get scared of people.
There are a lot of people who want to be duped. It's true. Not just leftists either. We saw them with Obama, the leftists, but then there were others. But look, here's the thing. The psychosis comes from this Maya Ghez. It's an aggravated Maya Ghez moment. Right? Maya Ghez was this incident that was then ginned up by Kissinger and Ford in 1975. Right? If we're being kicked out of South Vietnam, we got to do something to show how powerful we are. So they decided to take a city in Cambodia that was controlled by the Khmer Rouge and then bomb that to smithereens. But now, in the current moment, we got the Maya Ghez moment going, and we've got the psychosis, the hysteria that comes from the fact that they see their capital structures, their derivatives are collapsing, right? MF Global is simply a symptom of this. We have Commerzbank of Germany, which is one of the big three or big two that are left, is now basically bankrupt. There was something called Dexia, which was French and Belgian. We assume that Societe
and they keep spinning it that Europe has to raise their taxes, cut their benefits because they're lazy. It has nothing to do with it. The mega banks created derivatives and scammed everybody, but the media, bought and paid for by them, will not report it.
All right, and so this also drives them crazy. And again, once it's Societe Generale and probably Crédit Agricole on the French side, Unicredito on the Italian side. So we've got four or five Lehman Brothers candidates on the European side. Now, that is leading to a banking panic already. In other words, if you have euro deposits, say, in an Italian bank, a lot of people are saying, sell that and put it into Switzerland, right? Put it into Swiss francs or put it into the friendly pound, although I think that's a very, very dangerous recipe. So these two things now determine a mood of absolute hysteria in the ruling class. This impinges on Obama. We're told that one of the key moments in Libya when Obama was essentially prevailed upon by three furies, three harpies, Hillary Clinton, Susan Rice, and Samantha Power, pushed Obama to embrace this lunatic adventure.
Banshees. And now now Israel is very excited in their newspapers that you've got the head of the Joint Chiefs and others coming out and saying, we're ready to wipe them off the face of the earth, and the good old boys will put hot dogs at the end of their sticks and roast them in the radioactive flame.
And so you've got that. That's for Lebanon, for Syria, for Pakistan, for Iran. There's a threat of immediate war. But I think even more dangerous than this, if possible, is the manic mood, this manic flight forward in the ruling elite, which is that now that they've done the Arab spring, summer, fall, and now we're into the Arab winter starting today, right? This is now the Arab winter. They say, this wave is our only hope. We've got to essentially wipe out all centers of resistance in the world. And if we can do that, we can have another 100 years of U.S.-British financial dictatorship over the world.
And make even bigger profits on militarizing domestically and arresting whoever you don't like. So they're going to go the pure hyper-fascist tyranny route.
Yes, and so therefore...
With lots of liberal trendies dancing around loving it, okay.
There's an international dimension to doing that, because there are certain limits beyond which they cannot go as long as they don't control Moscow, if they don't control Beijing, and they don't control Taiwan.
And we're out of time, but Webster, we're seeing chilling statements by who 2 weeks ago, the Chinese president, about prepare for war with the U.S.
Exactly.
You've got Putin saying the U.S. ruling class is, quote, insane.
Yes, and I think that's a very germane... concept. So I would say for Christmas, thank God for Putin, because Putin is at least some...
Oh, he's so loving as well, yes.
Well,
you're going to send him a Christmas present?
Count your blessings. Count your blessings.
No, I understand counterbalance is one devil against another, but my whole deal is obviously we've got some very psychopathic people running things here. I get what you're saying, Webster.
Right. So the danger now is that the lunatics of the Anglo-American ruling class are the aggressors, right? In international relations, the first thing you always want to know is, who's the aggressor? And this is where the onus of evil and the opprobrium of punishment...
Sure, megabanks have hijacked our countries, using it for engines of pure evil. They wrap their tyranny in the flag and try to sell the public on going along with it. We've got to explain the distinction to people, or we're going to be known in history like the Nazis.
And the problem now is that the people like Hillary Clinton, they sincerely believe that they can take this wave of Arab Spring color revolutions, that they can ride this to Moscow, to Tehran, and to Beijing. The one in Moscow is now very interesting. This is called the White Revolution. The White Armies, right? You may remember Kolchak, Denikin.
Yeah, the guys that backed the czars.
Yeah, they were the quasi-fascist forces that intervened, supported by Britain, France, and indeed the United States in the Russian Civil War, and were guilty of huge atrocities. So now we've got the White Armies marching in Moscow, led by this guy Prokhorov, who is an organized crime figure here in the United States, and at the same time the head of Norilsk Nickel. So he's
so they're trying to overthrow Russia too, which is all right. Webster, amazing. Have a great Christmas. Thanks for spending.
Thank you. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and all other holidays.
Yep, the evening of Christmas, he spent it with us. Thank you so much, Webster.
Bye-bye.
Great job. Tarpley.net. Our sites are Infowars.com. And Twitter.com/RealAlexJones. We'll see you back with a second hour straight ahead, Christmas special. Stay with us.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, we're happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
Yeah, America's a great country.
Run away.
A wonderful place. So is this world. And good people have to stand up against the corruption and protect all the great things we have in life. All right, hour number two. I want to thank Webster Tarpley for joining us last hour. In this little short segment, the next, My good buddy and a member of the InfoWars.com crew, Richard Reeves, is here because he's been a delegate for Ron Paul. He's knocked on thousands of doors. He's been in the trenches. I've known Richard for about 10 years now. And he works here in the InfoWars offices. And when we go on the road, he also goes with us there. And he also helps head up some of our longevity work at InfoWarsTeam.com, which I never even seem to plug, even though it's incredibly popular now. Richard, when we come back in the next long segment, Ron Paul is turbocharging. They are pulling out all the stops. All of their talk about him fornicating with aliens from planet Pop-Tart is not working now. And it's actually boomeranged on them. And so, as CBS News said a couple days ago on Friday, which Christmas, folks, the 25th year, the CBS News said on Friday that he's a Teflon candidate. He's gotten a 4 or 5 point boost since they said he's the Antichrist.
Well, we observed that happen during the Rand Paul campaign in 2010 when they accused him of worshiping Aqua Buddha, etc. And now we see that we are really starting to overwhelm and overcome the mainstream media, which is something we talked about actually years ago. And now,
just admit we're all part of an Aqua Buddha cult.
Well, I tell you what, they'll be labeling us with that next. But, look for any kind of turmoil to happen right now. You got Sarah Palin making noise about jumping in the race. Hey, news for Sarah Palin, you can't get ballot access now. It's too late. The date, for instance, in Texas, December 19th, that was the deadline to get on the ballot for the primary.
She doesn't care about winning. It's to sell some books and maybe find some basketball stars to hang out with and to spoil Ron Paul.
Definitely to cause a distraction, but we'll talk about it here upcoming, but they are looking at the brokered convention. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but folks, we really need to get a warning out to keep pushing out there. All the delegates, all the candidates, all the people voting need to be ready for what's coming next, because what we experienced back in 2008 is what the powers that be are going to pull again. The Ron Paul supporters need to be ready for what's coming next. And in Iowa, January 3rd in the caucuses, that's going to be a more honest way of having a vote, because these are people in these caucuses that are being counted. Their bodies are being counted. They're raising their hands, and that's how they're being counted to find out what presidential candidate.
Very hard to engage in fraud.
Well, now where they can cheat, and this is where Iowans need to be prepared.
In the master tabulation, because the feds have come because of a hacker thread. That'll fix it.
That's right. They need to insist on the GOP, the Iowa GOP website, and the Secretary of State of Iowa websites, that they have an open, honest way to tabulate and count each and every precinct in Iowa. There's over 7,000 precincts in Iowa. Ron Paul supporters need to witness and document all the activities in those caucuses, and then they need to make sure that those votes in those caucuses are accurately counted and tabulated.
Okay, but stop. We're about to go to break, and I want all the some stations don't care this for a second. I want everybody to hear this, the diehard patriots out there who are listening to this premiere Sunday, December 25th, Christmas Day transmission. And I want to thank not only those guys, but the crew who up here on Sunday make sure that the special transmission goes out to everybody. But we're going to go to break here in just a moment and come back for a little 10-minute segment with Richard Reeves to go over all of this. What a broker convention means. The Republicans have changed the rules as another way to finagle an establishment victory. We'll get into how they can cheat in the caucuses, and then what we expect to see with black box activity in New Hampshire. So I hope you're all having a great Christmas out there, and thanks for putting up with me, the Tasmanian hillbilly. We'll be right back on the other side with more of your orchestral Christmas time hymns. Merry, Merry Christmas. And if the control freaks don't like us saying Christmas, well, they can just go right back to Planet Pop-Tart.
Go Tasmanian hillbilly.
Christmas music for you. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It is Christmas, December 25th, 2011, and we are engaging in the thought crime of even saying the word Christmas, which is now racism and xenophobic and hateful. You got to give up all your cultures and accept the globalist corporatoid culture of tyranny, abortions, open borders, deadly vaccines, endless war, and TSA now announcing checkpoints all over the United States, getting their funding massively increased by Congress, and announcing they're going to have TSA teams groping your wife, daughter, sons, and you on highways near you, strip searching old ladies. It's going to be a lot of fun. So enjoy the new year as the martial law rolls out in America. Now, there's a way to stop this, and that's called Congressman Ron Paul. They told you in the last 6-7 months of him running that he couldn't win, even though he won almost every straw poll and was number one, number two, or number three in every scientific poll. Now he's number one in Iowa. And CBS News, back on Friday, a couple days ago, had the headline that he's a Teflon candidate. He got 5 to 6 to 7, depending on the poll, boost from 24 to 30. Or 31 in the polls, when they basically said that he was Satan, the Antichrist, and the 12th Goblin, all rolled into one. It didn't work. It backfired. But they've got some ways to stop it. And they're trying it right now. Richard Reeves has been a delegate for Ron Paul back in 2008, knocked on thousands of doors. He also works here at InfoWars.com as a reporter. Richard, you've studied this whole caucus situation very closely in Iowa. That's one of the more open true systems, but they have a way to steal it. Then we'll get into what a brokered convention is. They've changed the rules to try to steal it from him. If he does win, they can still try that. So break down what we're facing here as true American patriots.
Okay, starting with Iowa, like you said, and nobody can articulate it and encapsulate it as well as you do about what we're facing if we don't pull this off. In Iowa, January 3rd, 2012, now it's just about 10 days away, just a short space of time away till we have that date roll upon us, and it's incredibly important for each and every person in Iowa that's eligible to go to one of those caucuses to vote for Ron Paul to show up there, to document the activities of the caucus event, to count how the votes come down, and then they need to insist that their Republican GOP website there in Iowa put a fair way to count and tabulate the votes, and the Secretary of State of Iowa needs to have it all on their website so these people can go back.
But hackers have said they're going to hit it, so the feds and the Republicans may have to just make the announcement and then not let you know because, you know, they care about you.
Well, I think we've got enough Ron Paul supporters on the ground now that they can go out there and they can handle this. They can each work in their precincts and in their counties and make sure that these caucuses don't get stolen. Because in New Hampshire, which we'll talk about in a little bit, there's the bigger threat coming up in New Hampshire. But back to Iowa, they will try to cheat on the tabulation, there's no doubt. So
no,
they need to be ready for that. And the good thing is, though, from the reports I've heard, is there's actually people from all over the United States that are Ron Paul supporters that are going up there and boots on the ground up in Iowa. So this eclipses the excitement that we had back in 2008.
No, resistance is victory. If they engage in fraud, we expose it. I mean, that's how we build our liberty muscles, is engaging, engaging, engaging. And regardless, we're educating folks about real constitutionalism versus neocon right-wing fascism and Democratic Party establishment communism.
And the proof that we're succeeding is something you just alliterated earlier. That's where people aren't listening to the mainstream media. When they come up with bogus lies and propaganda about Ron Paul, it's driving his poll numbers up.
Same thing happened with Rand. It's like I told Politico last year when Rand was winning. I said, you called up here to get dirt on Rand. Let me tell you how to beat Rand. Endorse him. You're so hated and not trusted. If you endorse him, he'll lose.
All right. Well, let's not give away the secret there, Alex.
Oh, they're so arrogant. They'll never do that. The dinosaur media still thinks they're the mainstream media. They don't know we've already overthrown them.
Well, they are definitely becoming just the tail that's trying to wag the dog. And pretty soon it's going to be one of those stubby nubs. Like on some dogs where they cut them off. What do they call that when they do that? They clip the tail off the dog.
That's what they call it.
That's what the media is going to
do. Bobbing the tail.
They're going to
the mainstream media tail. Now, Richard, let's go back here. Let's talk about brokered convention. They've announced that. The Republican establishment has changed the rules so they can bring in little Sarah the Spoiler.
Okay, we'll talk about brokered convention, but we can't forget about talking about New Hampshire.
Okay, go ahead.
Later, but
hit that then first.
Brokered convention. Now, let's go with the brokered convention, like you said. Potentially, if the Ron Paul people all show up during all these primaries, Like, for instance, in January 10th, we have the New Hampshire show up to your conventions. South Carolina, January 21st. Here in Texas, they've actually delayed ours by a month, moving it to April 3rd by court order. So folks need to get to their precinct conventions, because that's how we can win and defeat the powers that be in a brokered convention scenario, is by having Ron Paul supporters show up en masse. The small minority, the minority can be a majority in this scenario. They need to get to their precinct caucuses, like in Iowa. And if they don't have caucuses, they need to get to their precinct conventions in each and every state, regardless of what happens with the electronic voting in New Hampshire January 3rd, because that's where the Ron Paul balloon got popped. Back in 2008 was when we rolled into New Hampshire, when the Ron Paul supporters went into New Hampshire. The powers that be, with their electronic voting and their paper ballot cheating that they engaged in, gave John McCain a 37% margin of victory there in New Hampshire.
And by the way, it was confirmed in New Hampshire and other areas that he did get cheated.
Well, you had numerous interviews during that time, longtime listeners.
Well, Bev Harris was there.
Bev Harris and Vicky Karp. All those people were there with the groups that try to get voting.
She made the documentary, the HBO special about black box voting.
That's right. So there was confirmation of that. We had stories about ballots being swept off in vans and disappearing for great lengths of time, etc. But let's not forget that the powers that be gave Ron Paul an 8% turnout in New Hampshire. They gave him a single-digit turnout, and I think we're going to see a repeat of that this year. I think Ron Paul, all likelihood is he will win Iowa, and then we're going to roll into New Hampshire, and with the black box voting and paper ballot cheating that they're going to engage in New Hampshire, don't be surprised and don't be disappointed and don't be let down if they give him a single-digit percentage rating out of New Hampshire. Still show up to your precinct conventions. Still show up to those precinct caucuses, because that's where the nomination can be won. And in a brokered convention scenario, if the Ron Paul supporters are the majority of that body of delegates at the RNC occurring in Florida in around August, September of this year, then, or 2012, actually, then that brokered convention will be won by Ron Paul under that scenario.
Well, you're right, Richard. And again, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, the establishment media could say you can't vote for somebody and people would follow the orders. Look at the entire establishment, left, right, and center, attacking Ron Paul, myself, and many others, because we know what we're talking about. I mean, the last week, hundreds of articles, CBS, ABC, Ron Paul's crazy. He went on Alex Jones's show and said there's a danger of military on the streets in the NDAA. That's all over the news, that basically allows the military to arrest citizens and all this. Ron Paul's crazy. He says the CIA brings in drugs. That's all over the news as well. Look at Fast and Furious. Government shipping guns into Mexico, drugs back in. That's Chicago Tribune. New York Times 3 weeks ago admitted this government's bringing drug money in. I mean, we've got a corrupt ruling elite who thinks they can just tell you it's fashionable to go along with corruption and that you'll just stand down. I mean, we've been in a depression for 3 years. Even the New York Times is now admitting that. I mean, they told you it isn't a depression, so you're supposed to believe them. The New World Order is going to wreck things by design. We've got to get rid of the globalists. We've got to restore the republic, bring back America, bring back the liberty, legalize freedom, bring back what made America great. End the empire. Restore the republic. Elect Ron Paul and help your friends and family wake up at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, our premier news websites. Richard Reeves, great job reporting for InfoWars.com, taking us out to break with Christmas music. Any other points you'd like to make quickly?
Well, you made the issues about the Fast and Furious and all these different issues that you discussed. The silver lining of all that is it's helping us wake people up. All the alternative press, InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv, are waking people up, so our movement is bigger.
Exactly. That's why they're wanting to censor the web now with the SOPA Act. I mean, it's all coming out. We got a big financial expert, a surprise guest, straight ahead. Stay with us. We'll be right back after these important messages.
I can't think of anything that's dumber. Christmas is a bummer. Beaming faces everywhere. Happiness is in the air. I'm telling you, it isn't fair. I hate Christmas. People loaded with goodwill. Giving presents, what a thrill. That slushy nonsense makes me ill. I hate Christmas. I'd rather have
all right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back here on this special Christmas edition. And that was Janet Reno Napolitano. Who's there training the TSA to stick their hands down your small children's pants because they're keeping you safe from Al Cieda. We are joined now until the end of this special edition by Porter Stansberry. All over Fox TV, CNN, MSNBC, local radio, no matter where I am in the country, I hear the ads running and I also hear my voice. Go to End of America. You've heard those ads. Where I talk about Barron's called his work a dire prophecy. And he talked about that in the year 2011, and these ads have been running almost the entire year, you would see something happen that would change the way you invest, the way you pay for school for your children. I think I ought to just play the ad to introduce it to folks, but everybody's heard it. And, of course, I only do the voice for things or talk about things that I think are on target. And Porter Stansberry has done a great job over the years as a financial advisor predicting a lot of things, the housing crisis years before it happened. And he did accurately predict on the video they put together a year ago and on my radio show when he was on as a guest a few times that the U.S. would lose its A-plus credit rating. And that has now happened, and the big banks have had that happen. They're talking about more downgrades. And, of course, the debt's already impossible to pay back. It's a fraudulent debt. Most of it's derivatives-based. And so as you lose the credit rating, it gets higher and higher and more impossible to pay off. And he's made a lot of other predictions in the last year that will now change the way we live our lives, as you see the fact that even the New York Times last Thursday admitted, Mr. Krugman, that it's really a depression. The system's known that. Now, there's ways out of this, but we have to be honest about what caused the problems to get out of it. Porter Stansberry doesn't really think they're going to change anything because they like where it's going. So he just talks about how you can protect yourself individually. And he joins us till the end of the hour. Porter Stansberry, good to have you here with us on Christmas Day.
Thanks for having me, Alex. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's go back to the interviews we did back in February where you laid out what was going to happen in the next 10 months, and it did happen.
Yeah, as you'll recall, it was almost exactly a year ago I was on the program. I was on in mid-December. We were talking about the Christmas holidays then as well. And it was right after Geithner had come out and had sworn up and down that the United States would never lose its AAA rating, that it was unthinkable that that would happen.
That's right. You were on then, and you were also on in February. That's right.
Yep, and I was on your show, and I said, I guarantee you that this will happen in the next couple of months, because any time they trot the Treasury Secretary out or the Finance Minister out, and any time he swears that there isn't going to be a currency devaluation, you can know, that's how you know for sure it's going to happen. And that's exactly, of course, what happened with our credit.
Why do they lie? Just so they can sucker punch investors because they're a predatory, house-owned, monopoly casino?
You know, I'm actually a lot more skeptical about it than even that. I think that they come out there and say it because it's code for all of the senior institutional investors that it's going to happen. It's like a known quantity. It's like, there's almost like a sarcasm to it.
No, it's a joke on the slave scum, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. It's a signal that, okay, yeah, it's time for this to happen by promising that it won't happen.
Well, that's how they do it, and they think NORTHCOM and the military will help them rob all of us. They're announcing all of that right now, great people. And please continue with your predictions that were on my radio show.
Yeah, well, the other big prediction that I made, there are lots of things that we talked about that were happening over time, but the downgrading of the debt was a big one. The other thing I said was you'll see record levels of central bank buying of gold. That is, all around the world, central banks are abandoning the dollar, and they're doing so by moving back into gold.
Universities are buying up gold.
Yeah, so you saw Texas, for example, take possession of $1 billion worth of gold. And that was a pretty amazing thing. It was the first senior U.S. financial institution to take a step like that. But you also saw, and less widely covered, that central banks around the world bought 400 tons of gold. 400 tons of gold. And this is the largest buying by any order of magnitude you want to discuss over in 40 years. So central banks haven't been buying gold this way since before the end of the Bretton Woods Agreement in 1971. It's unprecedented. And it shows that a lot of things I've been writing about, a lot of things you're talking about, are coming to pass. That all around the world, people are losing faith and trust with the people who are running the United States.
And now we see open announcements by the head of the IMF saying, yeah, this is like a 1930s depression. They've known it's a depression all along. So let's get into what you see happening in 2012.
Well, there's one more thing I want to, you can go back and look at this this interview we did a year ago. It's posted on the web in a couple different places. And I want to take a lot of credit for one other thing, which is that I said that the crisis would show up first in Europe and that the U.S. would be behind efforts to spend $2 to $3 trillion in bailouts for Europe. And if you look at the size of the bailouts, that's exactly what has happened. And I even got the state correct. I said that Italy would be the source of most of the biggest problems.
You know what, Porter? That would be some powerful talk radio. When I invited you on here on short notice, you know, for the special holiday Christmas edition, I remember you saying that in December and February. You've got a big team, too. We ought to invite you back on the weekday show. And like have your crew just take those clips out of the day.
I was right on target with all this stuff.
Yeah, but that would be powerful. In fact, if your crew snips those out with a date, as I remember it, it's on our YouTube channel. It's got a couple hundred thousand views, the Alex Jones channel.
Also on my Wikipedia page. If you go to Porter Stansbury Wikipedia, they have the whole Alex Jones interview segmented out. And it's like an hour of content, and it's all right on the money.
Wow. But they're attacking Ron Paul for being right on the money, too. I mean, I guess it's bad to be right. It's good to be wrong, though.
What, I was infuriated to see Arthur Levitt, of all people, criticizing Ron Paul on Bloomberg. Did you happen to catch that radio programming?
Yeah, we've got it up on Infowars.com right now.
It was outrageous. I think that Arthur Levitt is the biggest scumbag in the history of Wall Street, and a lot of people don't know why. He is a complete... He's completely in the back pockets of America's biggest corporations. He could care less about the individual investor, and he poses like a friendly grandfather, and he's a complete scumbag. And if the only thing you need to know about why he's such a scumbag is because he was the head of the SEC when the SEC put political pressure on FASB to prevent them from putting in the legislation to force expensing of stock options. Expensing of stock options was the number one way that public companies fleeced American investors over the last 15 years, and he could have personally stopped it at any time. And instead of doing that, he did the exact opposite. He made it impossible for FASB, the Financial Accounting Standards Board, to get the legislation through Congress. And he did that deliberately to protect his pals on Wall Street, and that's why he ended up on the dime. He's on the payroll now at Goldman Sachs and at AIG. He's a complete scumbag, and he shouldn't be trusted by Americans.
We'll be right back with the Christmas special. We'll get the inside scoop from Porter Stansbury of Stansbury & Associates. I'm Alex Jones. Stay with us.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
I gotta admit, I love old Christmas music.
5 and 10.
Glistening once again.
With candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
And Old Crow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Jim Beam.
Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door.
I'm just joking, folks. I don't even drink any anymore because I want to lose weight, and I am. But I know what's really going on out there at Christmas. So everybody out there, drive safe. Watch out for all the drunk police driving around in Austin who are routinely crashing everybody. It's in the news again like yesterday. Okay, yeah, number one danger is the drunk police. Another attempted humor. Thank you for joining us. No, most of the police are not drunk. They are dodging the drunk drivers, though. Okay, Porter Stansbury is with us in this segment and the final segment here in the second hour of this special Sunday edition. I'm your host, Alex Jones. I appreciate everybody joining us on this Sunday. The country is in dire straits, and I've got to have Porter back for like a two-hour extravaganza, because I do remember all the predictions he made in writing and on my own show in December and then February of, 2010 and then 11, and then I could never get him back on again. He's so busy. Porter, you are incredibly busy guy. I mean, I can get Ron Paul, Jesse Ventura. I can even get Charlie Sheen on the show, but I couldn't get you on the show, buddy.
Well, Alex, I will drop everything and come on anytime. I mean, here I am on Christmas Day.
Yeah, how come I can only get you on Christmas?
I don't know. There must have been some mix-up in the communication, because I love talking with you. I love your show. The voiceovers that you've done for us on the advertising has absolutely helped our business grow this year.
I am proud of that fact. You guys test-marketed a bunch of voices on your huge...
You are the voice. You are the voice. It makes an enormous difference. And also, I want you to know that we got a lot of people that told us they would only air that advertising if we took your voice off of it, and we told them all to go to hell.
So the establishment's even scared of my voice becoming even more known.
Scared of your voice. And I'll tell you one other thing that's happened is, you know, I don't put my picture up anywhere. I don't have my picture on my website. I don't have my picture on my newsletters, because I don't really want people to know what I look like for obvious reasons. You know what I'm talking about. I was sitting at a bar in Miami Beach about 6 months ago, and the guy sitting next to me, I was having a cocktail with my wife, and the guy sitting next to me said, "Excuse me, are you Porter Stansberry?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." And I asked him, how did you recognize me? Because my picture's not anywhere. He said, "I recognize your voice." And then the next thing he said is, "What's Alex Jones like?"
Just like I am on air, obnoxious.
Yeah. Well, you know, with both of us, Alex, what you see is what you get.
Exactly. Same thing with Ron Paul. I know people that have worked with him for 30 years, and what you see in public is 100. You know, look at old videos of him on Morton Downey Jr. and on Access TV in Austin from 25, 30 years ago. I mean, it is the exact same guy, except he was getting a little bit more angry at people then. Now let's shift gears into, because you have stunningly, as the Wall Street Journal and Barron's and others had said years ago, predicted things years out. And you really did predict what was going to happen in 2011. How does the debt situation, how does the U.S. losing its credit rating down a notch affect things? And what are the things on the radar screen in 2012? How do people protect themselves?
Well, you know, real quickly, I would say that I think more and more people have come to believe that there's not going to be a big inflation. And they believe that because in this last year, commodity prices have been very tame. Copper, for example, is down 20% from a year ago. Tin is down 30%. Oil has been flat. Natural gas is down almost 50%. Sugar, you know, you can go on. They're all down double digits.
That's because there's a global depression in real economy, and so that's kind of eating up some of the inflation, right?
What was really holding it all back was the fact that Europe was not inflating. So even though the U.S. had pumped up money supply enormously, Europe was having a huge banking crisis. And what you'll see, I expect, is that a larger and larger bailout of Europe next year, and you're going to see all of these price indices reverse, because people have stopped fearing the inflation. And now that the banking authorities have gotten hold of the crisis in Europe, you're going to see them print a lot more money. And I think you'll see gold. You know, when I met with you a year ago, last December, I said that gold would go to $2,000 an ounce in 2011. And I think it went up to like $1,900, almost got there.
Yes.
So next year, I think that you will see gold double again. You'll see gold go to $4,000 an ounce, because they are going to solve the crisis in Europe, and they're going to solve the crisis in Europe by printing trillions of dollars. It's already begun, but we've just seen the early stages of it. They're going to print and print and print, and there's no way they're going to allow a downturn in the economy during a presidential election year. Not going to happen. They will start throwing money out of helicopters if they have to.
As Helicopter Ben said, Osama bin Bernanke, looking at this then, what do you think is going to happen domestically as things continue to unravel?
Well, you know what? I think there's going to be a period of time where people think it's all good news. Because, you know, if commodity prices don't go crazy, they just start going up moderately. And if business conditions improve because credit becomes widely available. I mean, we saw mortgage rates, right, drop below 4% this week, right?
Yes.
So, hey, go refinance. refinance, go get in some more debt, go buy some more things. I think you could have this, fantasy land period where the average American thinks there's nothing wrong and that the economy is improving and there's nothing to worry about. The problem, of course, is going to be that all these things are going to go way too far, and you're going to see the impact of this easy money over the next 2 or 3 or 4 years lead to a huge inflation. And that is why central banks all around the world are buying gold, and that's why you've seen the price of gold continue to go up this year. Gold's up about 20% this year, even though every other commodity you can think of has gone down.
Not because the gold really went up or silver went up, but because the dollar is being devalued. Now, you did over a year ago, or I guess just about a year ago, in December of 2010, you did on the record say the crisis would kick back off in Europe. Where does the contagion move from there?
That's a great question. And, you know, this is a crisis of bad sovereign debt. And these bad debts originated in a lot of other areas, in corporate areas, in the U.S. mortgage market, and in sovereign debt in Europe. And the way this crisis will be played out is through inflation. So what you'd want to, what the next step in this crisis is, moving from these banking crises into these really big inflation problems. So I can't know what it's going to be, but there will be some kind of commodity, some kind of strategic thing. It could be these rare earth elements. It could be steel. It could be copper. It might even be real estate again. You can't know where all the money is going to end.
Well, we're already seeing a bubble in the farming real estate while the other's
right.
been...
It could easily be agriculture this time. But what's going to happen is it's going to be a lot worse. It's not going to be the kind of happy inflation that we had in the 2000s that everyone could kind of plan around and make money in, I guess. It's going to be radical inflation. And the problem will be that the authorities are going to try to stop it with force. There will be credit controls, price controls.
And then that will cause shortages.
And then you'll see shortages, and then you're going to see more and more unrest. You know, by the way, when I was on the show last December, I told you as well that there'd be a lot of civil unrest this year. And everyone, of course, smirked and laughed. But then you saw Occupy Wall Street. You saw revolutions all over North Africa. And you saw all those revolutions because they literally couldn't buy food because the currencies have been devalued so much.
That's right. And the West tried to steer those, but that hasn't worked. You know, when you talk to all of the financial experts that are on the Stansbury research payroll, when you talk to other experts, right before we got you on air here, you were talking to a banker and getting some information. What's the feel across the spectrum from people that are in capital and finance and investment?
I think that they are more afraid than I have ever seen them before in my entire career. Because it is a problem of systemic proportions. It's not one bad sector. I can remember back in the early 2000s, I was involved in the telecom sector, and I would go to these private telecom conferences, and these guys would be afraid of the bad debts. It's not just like that. It's not one industry or one company or one sector. It's the entire system.
Porter Stansbury, stay there. It's not one bubble. It's a whole cauldron of bubbles with Helicopter Ben flying around dumping dollars. We'll be right back. Some classic Christmas music. That's like Little Drummer Boy. Not comedy Christmas here. Where did you get this? Who dug this up? That was like some YouTube thing. I knew it'd be you, the comedian in our group. We need some comedic diversions with all that's going on in this world. All right, Porter Stansbury is our guest, and we really appreciate him coming on. We are going to do another show that's more produced, where we go get the clips of his December interview now, I guess, over a year ago. I've looked it up. It was a little bit before Christmas, about a week before Christmas, and show how much of this came true, unfortunately, and then get his new predictions. But what about MF Global? I know you've got a lot of sources there, and I was talking to you the other day on the phone when I talked you into coming on with us here for the Christmas special, Porter, and you said, look, he'll probably end up walking. And you broke all that down. But what's really going on with MF Global and the little Obama darling, former head of Goldman Sachs, and the missing billion?
Yeah, it's a great story because you have this board at MF Global that's made up makeup of all these senior Democratic financial heavyweight people. And they had the chairman, who, of course, was Corzine, the governor of New Jersey and former head of Goldman. And he put on an enormous trade. He bought about $6 billion worth of Italian bonds. And he only had about $1 billion up in the trade. So he was heavily leveraged into Italian debt. And if you go back and look at the show where I was on last year, I said, you know, Italian sovereign debt is going to be the center of the next part of the crisis. So he took the exact opposite view that I had, bet heavily on Italian debt, got wiped out. And the people he owed the collateral calls to, the people he had borrowed the money to buy the bonds from, was J.P. Morgan. And so on October 28th, J.P. Morgan called and said, hey, we need at least $200 million in cash in order to keep the trade on. And so I don't know exactly the sequence of events. I'm not inside MF Global. But I do know that the treasurer of MF Global, Edith O'Brien, authorized the money to leave the U.S. to go to J.P. Morgan's accounts in London. And she has since hired a criminal attorney to represent her. And my guess is that Corzine told O'Brien to release the funds and that he will deny it and that she will end up being the fall guy.
She might fall down and hit her head, too.
Yep, she might fall down and hit her head.
Now, expanding on that, the head of the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, as you know, 2 weeks ago on C-SPAN, the same testimony in front of Congress, got off his prepared remarks and said, look, we talked to MF Global. Our people were there. They took the money out and said they were taking it out of the segregated accounts of their customers. And so right there, he's admitting perjury, that Corzine's involved in perjury. I mean, obviously Corzine knew, the CEO.
Yeah, I mean, Alex, this is the number one rule in finance. You do not do this, and everybody knows it. In fact, J.P. Morgan, people I know at J.P. Morgan, were so concerned about accepting this money because they didn't want to be tainted with this. They didn't want to engage in a fraudulent transaction, even though they're only the ones receiving the money. They're not doing any of the taking. They demanded a note in writing from MF Global's general counsel saying specifically that this was not segregated money, this wasn't client money. And MF Global wouldn't provide it.
Wow, and you've now got the head of the CME coming out, and that's the, you know, the big, for those that don't know, big commodities exchange group, and he's saying they're lying.
There's no, I mean, from what I know, from what I have been told, and from what the things I've seen in other places, there is no question in my mind that Corzine directed this segregated accounts for the money to be sent to London from the segregated accounts. There's no way that this woman, O'Brien, would have ever done this without his approval. There is no way. There is no way.
So what's going on? Why is he making 40-to-1 bets or 38-to-1 bets? I mean, we saw this, a decade ago with another big brokerage firm that went under, and then 2008. These guys run the planet. They run our politicians, and they are worse than the worst degenerate gambler in Las Vegas.
Because, Alex, this is how the system worked for 40 years. Ever since we left gold in 71, this was the path to wealth. You borrow unlimited amounts of money, and if you get in trouble, you will get bailed out, and you just borrow more money. That's the secret. That is how Corzine made Goldman Sachs the biggest bank in the world, by leveraging everything and getting bailed out anytime there was trouble. That's the point.
With our tax money and then having all these minions on the Goldman Sachs payroll you mentioned, demonize Ron Paul.
I'll tell you exactly what happened. The Germans would not play ball. The Germans would not allow the European Central Bank to expand the balance sheet fast enough to bail Italy out. That's exactly what happened. And Corzine got caught with his pants down because of it.
Let's shift gears then and look at gold in the next year. And most economists we talk to agree that we're going to really see some nasty inflation. We're not talking about, you know, a cup of coffee at the gas station going from $1 to $1.25. We're talking about going to $2, $3. We're talking about gas, what, going from $3 to $4 or $5. So if you look at this, what's the ratio for me? Because I know I asked you this a year ago, and you said you've now looked into it more closely. As they print money and as they issue bailouts and monetize debt, as the Federal Reserve buys its own debt, what's the ratio versus gold?
Well, I told you last time that off the top of my head, I thought it was around $10,000 an ounce for the price of gold if you were to try to back the U.S. currency with gold at some level, say at 25% backing, something reasonable like that. I just wanted to update all those numbers, so I went and looked where the Fed balance sheet is today. The Fed balance sheet is $2.8 trillion. So if you wanted to back all the Federal Reserve notes with gold, and that's the core base asset in our monetary system. So if you wanted to back the dollar with gold, that's the first thing you would do. And so to take the U.S. Gold reserve, which it's hard to know exactly how much gold we have because the gold that's in the Fed in New York is not all owned by the U.S. But just to be conservative, let's assume it was. There's about 372 million ounces of gold that the U.S. government owns or controls. If you do the numbers, you see that would give you a gold price of $7,526. So today, to back the Fed balance sheet as it stands, you'd have to see gold prices over $7,000. Now, that's not providing backing for the whole currency. That's just providing backing for the monetary base. If you go out to M3, there's $7.7 trillion of money outstanding right now in the U.S. economy. And to back all that with gold, we require a gold price of over $20,000.
Wow. And as you said, here's CNBC from Friday, 2 days ago, call for QE to stave off euro deflation. Euro deflation. And so they're talking about turning up the prices right there. And of course, they've been arguing for a new phase of the currency war where they all try to devalue as fast as possible.
Yeah. Well, look, just since 2007, the Fed balance sheet has gone from $800 billion to $2.8 trillion, and no one's said a word. Gold has gone from $700, you know, to where it was this year at its peak, $1,900, and nobody's cried uncle. The European Central Bank balance sheet has gone from around $1 trillion to $2.4 trillion, and it's definitely going to be over $3 trillion any minute now.
Okay, so how much inflation are you thinking? If it's really like 11% right now, what do you think it'll be at the Christmas next year?
You know, it's a very hard thing to say, but what I think that you will see is that hard commodities, things like gold and silver, are going to do very, very well. Overall inflation, Alex, I'm actually less concerned about for next year because I think you're going to see a big drop in the price of oil because of all the new domestic production.
So it's basically in some key commodities.
Yeah, and I think that it's going to keep a lid on this for a while. But believe me, this money is never going to get taken out of circulation. So sooner or later, this stuff is going to find its way into something. Will it be a bubble in agriculture? Will it be a bubble in gold and silver? Will it be a bubble in who knows?
A bubble in armaments if they start a new Middle Eastern wide war with Iran. Porter, we're out of time. You promised to come back in the next few weeks on the weekday show. You got a lot of different websites. What's the best one for folks to visit?
You know, just go to endofamerica.com, look at my presentation, decide for yourself.
Well, I look forward to getting you back on in the near future, and I want you to have a great rest of Christmas day and evening, and I want to wish everybody a great new year that's coming up. Of course, we'll be on all throughout the week, coming up live and then back next Sunday, but want everybody to have a great what's left of Christmas and New Year's coming up. Thank you, Porter.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, there he goes. Ladies and gentlemen, go spend the rest of the time with your families. I appreciate you tuning in today, and like I said, we'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central. Don't forget, we also simulcast these radio shows as TV at prisonplanet.tv. And I just wish you all to have a safe and a happy Christmas. Merry Christmas to all of you. If politically correct folks don't like it, you know where you can go. And that's it for this transmission. I'm Alex Jones, signing off.
We forgot and never brought to mind. Should old acquaintance be forgot?